All right, back on the air with Frank Zaffiro, the author of Beneath a Weeping Sky, River City crime novel. Frank, I'm interested, what got you into writing? How did, what was it that one day you wake up and what do you say in yourself?
Well, you know, for me, it was always a drive. It was always a desire, even when I was 10, 11 years old. And so it's just a natural thing for me, kind of like, you know, a musician plays guitar or whatever. So, you know, it's been kind of a lifelong advancement in discovering that there's a craft side to it. When you're younger, you just, you know, you write something down and you think it's great and it should be published somewhere. You don't realize until you get a little more mature that there's a craft to it, just like in music or in broadcasting or in any other artistic endeavor.
Right. It's interesting when looking at this book. Obviously, one of the things that jumps right out at me is this perpetrator, our bad guy, our villain, and something. This villain has issues for
he's
days.
He's a bit messed up.
He is a little bit messed up. Now, is that something that you that comes from your time on the street in police work? Is this based on somebody, or is this just kind of based on a, you know, kind of a collage of different criminal elements that you've met in the past? How'd you come up with this guy? Because I'll be honest with you, it kind of was creeping me out a little bit because I was like, wow, this guy knows this guy knows the criminal mind really, really well. Because it, you know, especially in the opening scenes where you have this he's having this dialogue with himself. And it's obvious right off the get-go that, you know, there's obviously some deep-seated issues that come back from early childhood. How did you go about that? Where did this come from, the genesis?
Well, it's one of those things where you do draw heavily from the color and flavor of your work experience, and I've met some very messed up people. But, you know, this guy's so over-the-top messed up in that I really just had to think it through and try to decide, okay, well, you know, what could possibly motivate somebody to do these types of things and then start going down that path. And I definitely wanted a villain who was not just a straw man set up, you know, a two-dimensional character that people could just say, oh, he's icky, and then they move on. I wanted it to be a little more complex than that and give him some motivators. So even though they're negative motivators and even though, you know, it's kind of hard to feel sorry for him because of what he's doing, at least you can look at it and go, well, yeah, I guess if that happened to me, I'd be pretty messed up, too. And then the second part is the sometimes distasteful part of being the writer and saying, okay, I've got to get into this guy's head a little bit to dredge out what's going on to put it on the page. Otherwise, it's not going to come out with any kind of truthfulness or any honesty to it. And the readers are great BS detectors. I mean, if you're not writing something halfway, you know, pretty true, they're going to catch that, and they're going to be reminded that they're reading a book, and they're going to, you know, probably put it down at some point. So that was kind of the process for me, and it, you know, it was akin to you know, doing some difficult interviews of you know, say a child molester or something like that
right.
during my career, where you know, you want to take a shower afterwards, but you know, you have to do what you have to do to finish the job.
No doubt, and I can see the similarity there. It there's no doubt about it when you're in this character in the section where the character is going through these, you know, conversations with himself and you know, obviously recounting childhood things. I wouldn't say that there's any sympathy for the guy, but there's an understanding that obviously we're dealing with someone here who is way out there in left field. You know, it reminded me to an extent. I mean, obviously very different different kind of things, but there was a Hannibal Lecter kind of feel to the guy, just an overwhelming kind of foreboding evil that you were able to you know, create there. And it's absolutely, it's shocking. I'll tell you that. As I pick up the book over and over again, that's the one that I kind of always go back to, you know, what is this guy going to do next? And so very well done in that respect. Now, where do you plan to go with this? Is our Detective Tower, is he going to continue running around River City and fighting crime? Is that how we're going to go about this? Are there more books to come?
Oh, for sure. There's you know, a couple of books I've written in the series, actually, that take place a lot further down the timeline, so I have to keep writing to catch up to them. But the nice part about this series is it is a cast of characters. It's an ensemble cast. And so I'm able to a little bit, like I mentioned before, ebb and flow who's in what role. And for instance, you know, Tower doesn't even appear hardly at all in the first book, and
right.
And he's kind of you know, one of two detectives working the case in the second book, but now he's front and center. And then you know, in the next book, he kind of takes a break. He's kind of in the backseat. He's in the background, in the periphery. Same thing with Katie McLeod. She kind of takes a bit of a break. Once the fifth book comes around, Katie McLeod again is in the forefront of the case, and probably Tower again as well. Thomas Chisholm is a character that I think is probably the only one who's pretty consistently been in a very strong secondary support role, and,
right.
And he's actually the only character that I based on a real person. Everyone else is completely made up, but Thomas Chisholm is based on a real cop.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, it is an absolutely interesting cast of characters that you've got there. So, and I like how you've set it up. So, you know, you can have one, you know, like you say, Tower kind of is the lead in this, and then you can go to another book entirely, another case, another type of crime entirely, and take one of these well-crafted characters and go in a completely different direction. So that's it's very interesting, and I would imagine that's kind of advantageous to you. It gives you a much wider variety of directions in which you can go.
And it's great for the reader, too, I think, because, you know, it's not going to get stale after three or four books where maybe they're kind of, okay, I'm kind of sick of this particular character now, because they, you know, they almost can get a little bit excited about, oh, hey, this is a book where, you know, Sully and Battaglia have big roles, or this is a book where Katie McLeod's the main character, and she's my favorite character.
Right.
You know, and yet there's not so much of it that it gets old at all. And it opens up the possibilities because, you know, certain things are more likely to happen to particular people. And so you can pull that character up off the bench there and say, hey, this is your time. Here's the ball. Go throw fastballs because, you know, it's your turn.
Right. Okay, so the first book is Under a Raging Moon, and then Heroes Often Fail, and then this is the third, Beneath the Weeping Sky, available in stores as we speak, correct?
Correct, all three.
Very nice. It's from Grey Dog Press. It is Frank Zaffiro, Zaffiro. It's frankzaffiro.com if you want to check out the website. The River City Crime Novels. Frank, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We greatly appreciate it. And look forward to the next book. Any time frame on when we might see that?
You know, right now it's slated for about this time next year.
Very nice. Well, thanks so much. And thanks for all the work that you do on the streets in Spokane. Greatly appreciated to you and all of your brothers in the in law enforcement. And once again, thanks for taking some time with us this morning.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. That's Frank Zaffiro. He is the author of Beneath the Weeping Sky. Like I said, frankzaffiro.com is where you can go. All your booksellers have it. It's a Grey Dog Press, Beneath a Weeping Sky. That is Frank Zaffiro joining us from Spokane.